All right, very interesting case. It comes from Zorbistin. There was a shul that was giving out various honors and aliyahs. They gave up to the highest bidder. Parshas told us. And what happened was, you know, the sixth aliyah talks about all about the great blessings from Yitzchak Avinu, about Parnassah. So there's a big bidding war that was going on. And what happened was, there was a guy bidding from the men's section, $50 to $100, to $200, $300, $400. Once they hit $400, most of the bidders backed down. The price war, or the bidding war, was left to two competitors. One of them was Shimon, a wealthy businessman, and the other one was a voice from the women's section. What happened was, the price continued to rise until finally, when it reached $1,000, Shimon finally had enough of the contest. He signaled to the Gabbai, spiked the price up to $1,500, and then by doing that, hopefully the women would stop. Finally, there was silence from the women's section, going once, going twice, sold for $1,500, called the Gabbai, and Shimon won the aliyah, the sixth aliyah in Parshas Toldos. After davening, Shimon goes home with a smile of satisfaction. He's very honored, and he's very, very happy. He said, "I honored myself. I spent $1,500 for the aliyah." After some price war with some lady from the women's section, his wife looked back at him and said, "That was no lady. That was me." It turned out that she had permission from her husband to be able to bid for him, but she felt she was a little too embarrassed, so she told her friend to bid for her, and that's why the husband didn't recognize the voice of some woman, right? It was her friend. What happened was, afterwards, the husband realized he would have never gone up from $400 or from $1,000 to $1,500 if he knew that the woman he was bargaining with was really bargaining versus his wife for himself. So afterwards, now he comes to Zorbistin, and the husband comes and says, "Does he have to really pay the $1,500, or could he just go back to with the original where the war that the price contest started happening at $400, where the last competitor dropped off?" The Zorbistin first starts off quoting the Raman Yoredeya, Simin Reish and Chesh Sif Beis. Imrotzal Lomar Al Sela Zuba Hotzi Besvasav Al Acher Heviv Taos VeInu Klum. The Raman rules that one is not obligated to honor a vow that was done in a toast and with a mistake, made to tztaka. Meaning, if you thought you were giving a vow, you're not obligated to honor a vow that was mistakenly given to tztaka. And what happened was, maybe Rav Zilberstein says, since Shimon mistakenly raised the price, right, he didn't mean to give it to go so high, perhaps this neder, this amount is not binding. However, Rav Zilberstein is docha, he pushes away this kavana, and he says the following: the Ramah refers only to a person who had not meant to make the vow at all. Right? Someone who didn't mean the Ramah is just saying you're not chayiv when someone he didn't mean to make the vow at all. Right? For example, if someone meant to pledge a certain coin to charity but accidentally pledged a different coin, since he didn't mean to pledge that coin at all, the vow is not binding, right? He only wanted to pledge this coin and not that coin. But here in Shimon's case, he vowed a donation $1,500 as he intended. Right? He just didn't know the identity of the competitor. It's not a mistaken vow. Most likely, deep in his heart, he agrees to pay that amount anyway, since it was a donation for the shul. So that was the first reason Rav Zorbistin would say he has to pay, is because it's not a mistaken vow at all. In deep in his heart, he would still want to pay because it's given going to the shul. It's not a mistaken vow. A mistaken vow only says when you want to give a certain coin and then you give another coin. But here he was going to give the money either way. Not knowing the identity of the competitor has nothing to do with this. Finally, the second second proof, and then the third thing will just be an added thing. Rav Zorbistin quotes the Gemara in Tainis on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, going over to Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. An incredible story of a doctor named Abba Umna, who was a great tzaddik. And every day he was greeted with a baskol. Abaye was very curious why this doctor was such a chashuv person, so he sent two students to investigate his deeds. And what happened was, the students went to him, he hosted them with great honor and gave them expensive wool and mats to sleep on. On the morning they got up early, these two students of Abaye, and they wanted to test Abba Umna. They got up early and they stole the woolen mats that they slept on. They brought the mats to the marketplace and they saw Abba Umna there. They arrived at the marketplace, right, their host, and they showed them the mats, and they asked him, "How much would these mats cost? Give me an appraisal, how much would these mats cost?" He suggested a price. He suggested a certain price, and the students of Abaye said maybe perhaps they are really worth more. So Abba Umna said, "No, that was exactly the price that I myself paid for them." Really, Asa Abba Amnu knew that they had these. So the two students say back to him, the Gemara says, really, they're yours. We took them from you. But tell us, what did you think when you saw us trying to sell your mats in the market? Like, what did you think? What was your kavana? So Abba Umna says back, this famous tzaddik, the doctor, says, I thought you needed money for Pinyon Shvuyim to rescue Jewish captives, but you were embarrassed to ask for it. So you took the mats to sell and raise the money. The student said, no, we don't really need the mats at all. We were just testing you. You can take them back. Abba Umna says back now, I don't want them anymore. When I woke up and saw they were gone, I immediately lost any thought I had, yesh, of getting them back, and decided that they would be for tzedakah. I don't want them back. I immediately said they would be for tzedakah, and it's going for tzedakah. Says Rav Zurbasin, the same might be said in our case. Although there was a mistake in the bidding, meaning he didn't know that his wife's friend was bidding for him. However, Shimon most likely decided when he first heard about the mistake that he would still give the money anyways. Meaning, of course, he would still give the money anyways, even if he felt bad. But now he's starting to think, oh, you heard about this Ramah, that if you don't have to give mistaken vows or mistaken tzedakah that you didn't mean to. Then, no, Shimon, his originally thought that he would have to give it back. As soon as his first machshava came in, he must fulfill this vow and pay the entire $1,500 to the shul. Rav Zurbasin then concludes with a great story brought down in Maseches Kala. Rav Akiva, the great sage, Rav Akiva was once offered to act as Rabbi Tarfon Shliach to buy a couple cities on his behalf. Rabbi Tarfon is very famous for being very, very wealthy, and they gave him 4,000 coins to be able to buy certain cities. Rabbi Akiva then took the money and gave it out to a lot of poor people. Days later, Rabbi Tarfon came back to Rabbi Akiva and asked him about the cities that he bought. Rabbi Akiva took him and brought him to this base midrash and showed him the pasuk in Tehillim that says that I'm giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives out all the money. From the wealthy to the poor. This is the city I bought for you. I brought the holy people of the poor people who need money. This is the city I bought for you. Rabbi Tarfon rose, the Maseches Kala says, and he kissed him, and he says, "You are my teacher. You're my Rebbe. You're my Rebbe in Chachma. You're my teacher in Derech Eretz." He then even gave Rabbi Kiva even more money to give it to the poor. I think there are a couple lessons here. The first lesson is to take the mitzvah tzedakah in a very, very serious way. And when we give something to tzedakah, we have to make sure that it's going into the right hands, and we're very careful with our words. The second thing that I think is very important is that we have to be careful with our words. We have to be careful with what we say, careful with what we do, and just be very emistic in our actions. You know, I have a Rebbe, Rabbi Simon, who's very mocked, but you know, when there's certain things that someone does for him, even for a phone call. Last couple weeks ago, we went to Monroe for a wedding. Someone made a phone call from him. He asked him, "Can I pay you back?" The guy said, "No, can I pay you back?" We have to be very, very emistic with our words and our actions. Bez Hashem, if we're emissary with our words and our actions, and we treat the mitzvah tzedakah in a proper way, we should be zochah Bez Hashem to bring down tremendous shefa and bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.